Greetings from the Warriors Tape Ministry. We are delighted to have an opportunity to further enrich your life today. For more information on who we are and what we're all about, you can find us at warriors.cc. You be blessed.
This is a set time that secret things are being revealed to the church. Things that the Lord has held back for such a time as this. I want to speak to you about the prophetically. I got an email this morning, or actually it was yesterday. It was about a man that I met in a particular place that we were. And I spoke to him, and the word of the Lord came upon me, and the Lord showed me secret things about his life. So I said to him, these words, or something to the effect. The Lord says that you're going to have a grandson, and he's going to prophesy because God's called him as a prophet, because the word came down, and his grandfather didn't take it, and his dad didn't take it. So it's coming to the grandson. He started crying, of course, so that's very encouraging when you know your own target, so then you take more risk. So at the end of telling him, this is important. And his name shall be called Micah, that's what I said. He says these words. My son is married to a lady who can no longer have any children. I went, but she shall have a son, and his name shall be Micah. The next time I saw him, he said, my daughter-in-law, she's pregnant. I said, praise God. He shall be a son, and you shall call his name Micah. He went, well, it's a girl. Can we call her Michelle? And I went, no, it's a son. And then now I'm a little worried. Okay. So he emailed me back, and he said in this email, it's a boy. So he wrote me this email, because this goes along with what I'm going to speak to you about today. Blessings, brother, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just an update on the progress of baby Micah. Isn't that cool? We talked to our son near the end of January, and he was so deeply giddy. He was so giddy he could hardly talk. Our daughter-in-law sent us an email the other day in a picture. She's grown greatly in the last couple of weeks. Too much information. She says the little guy's very active, and our other granddaughters, the only grandson, can now feel him moving around. June 20th is ETA, I believe. Blessings, you and your family. And he signed it. His name's Rick. And so that's awesome, isn't it? Which launches what I want to speak to you about today. And I want to talk to you about the fourth dimension. And I'll start with Revelation 2:17. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. What the Spirit says to the churches. What the Spirit says. Not what man says. Let he who has an ear to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. It says here, to him that overcomes, I will give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knows, saying that he receives it. Now, you got to understand this, that the book of Revelation, please listen to me. First of all, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are gospels written by men of an occurrence. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are synoptic gospels. Synoptic means if us four gentlemen saw an accident and the police officer said, tell me what you saw, we would all tell him what we saw we would write about the same event, but it would be coming from four different people. That's the synoptic gospel. John is not a synoptic gospel. John is the only gospel that proclaims the deity of Jesus Christ. The others talk about what he did. John talks about who he is and why he did what he did and why he's going to continue doing what he started doing. Now, to him that overcomes, I'm going to give him to eat of hidden manna. Hidden manna. And I'm going to give him a white stone, and in the stone, a new name written, which no man knows. Now, the four Gospels were written by men, but the first four books of Revelation are written by Jesus. So, the book of Revelation is the Gospels to the church from the Lord. Hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the churches. Are you with me? The book of Revelation is not, the Gospels to the church in transition. Are you with me? So if I could pull a layer back on the scary book of Revelation and the Antichrist and the end time and Armageddon and all that spooky stuff and say it's not the revelation of spooky stuff, it's the revealing of Jesus Christ. Are you with me? Now, and we'll let all the end time doctrines work all their charts. That's fine. I'm not opposed to that. I'm just saying that it's much deeper than a chart. Come on, somebody. Now, having said that, I want to go over some of the meanings of some of the words. Ear. He who has an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. It's the faculty to perceive with the mind. The faculty of understanding and knowing. To hear. To comprehend. To understand. Overcomes here. To comprehend. To understand. Overcomes is victory. 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 Say victory. Symbolically, that which is kept in the heavenly temple for food of angels and the blessed. Hidden manna. There's manna that has been hidden in the temple for angels and for those that are blessed. Come on, touch somebody and say, I'm blessed. Are you with me? The white stone, an ancient court of justice, the accused drew stones. If he drew a black stone, he was guilty. If he drew a white stone, he was acquitted. Let me just say, God's given you a new name on a white stone because he's acquitted you. You're acquitted. You understand that? You're found not guilty. There's no charges against you. In the Gospels, it's telling you how to attain that place of having no charges. And in the Gospels from Jesus in Revelation, he's telling you how to walk in the place with no charges. Because you see, you've been given a white rock, a right stone. Or you could say, he's changed your old black heart into that one that's white. Are you with me? Now, having said that, let me also say this. That when you look at, let's talk about the Urim and Thummim for a minute. That's called Lights and Perfections. There is a certain, I heard a teaching on that in the priest ephod, thank you, there were two stones, lights and perfections. They don't know were these a black and a white stone. Did one light up? We don't know. Lights and perfection is what Urim and Thummim mean, lights and perfections. But God would speak through Israel, through the chief high priest. He would reach in the ephod and pull out these two, the Urim and Thummim. I personally think it was a black and a white stone. And the white stone was yes, and the black stone was no. And God says he's given you a white stone because he says yes. He doesn't say no. And we say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. You see, that's the thing. Behold, you desire, Psalms 51 says, truth in the inward parts. And in the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom. That means to be wise in your own heart, not wise in your own eyes. Are you listening to me? Wise in your own heart, not wise in your own eyes. Now, Isaiah 45 says, and I will give you treasures. And I will give you treasures hidden in the darkness, secret riches, secret riches. See, that word darkness is not darkness as we presume it to be darkness, evil, bad, wrong. It's the secret place. It's under the shadow. See, God dwells in the midst of the thick darkness, it says in Genesis. And in this place, if you have the perseverance to press through, Mark, if you have the perseverance to press through, Patsy, God will show you hidden things. God will show you treasures. He's calling you now to come up higher, to a higher place. He's not calling you to low life. He's calling you to a high life. That's not Miller's. That's Jesus. Are you with me? Come on, somebody. Say amen. Therefore, judge nothing. Well, I don't want to go over that one. I want to sit with this one. I am the Lord, the God of Israel, the one who calls you by name. That darkness is secret, the secret place. Now, to him that overcomes, I'm going to give him to eat of the tree of life, it says in the book of Revelations, which is in the paradise of God. You see, paradise is now, has been pulled up. When Jesus, who also ascended, descended, also ascended and led captivity captive, paradise went with him. Are you with me? Now, when paradise went, the paradise of God, there is no purgatory. Someone say, thank God. That's a good thing. Now, can I hand you my coat, please? Thank you. Now, to him that overcomes, I'm going to give him to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Now, this tree is no other tree than the tree which is Jesus. That's the tree that was by the waters that were bitter in Exodus 15. Remember they said, we can't take of these waters for they're bitter. And the prophet said, grab the tree. Put them in the waters. And they put the tree in the waters and the waters were made sweet. That's the same tree that is now in the Ark of the Covenant. That's the Ark, that's the bud that was dead then made alive. That's that olive branch, or excuse me, the almond branch that was dead, that was made alive. Jesus was dead, and then he was made alive. That's the tree. That's the fruit that the book of Revelations, Jesus is telling us, we get to protect Jesus. Are you listening to me? And we get to, in this now, he's saying, you get to protect my life. We've already partaken his death. Now we're walking in his life. Come on, somebody. This is none other than the same rod of Jesus, that rod that budded. Now this life is spoken of. Now, reach your hands up and pray for me. Here we go. This life is spoken of, but it's not found in the first, the second, or the third dimension. It's only found in the fourth dimension. Now I have to break dimensions down for you because there's some new faces. A dimension of Passover, Pentecost, tabernacles. A dimension of 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. A dimension of the brass of judgment, the silver of redemption, the gold of divinity. Jesus the babe, Jesus the man, Jesus the Lord, worker, warrior, worshiper, David's first anointing, his second anointing, his third anointing, the leper anointing, the priestly anointing, the kingly anointing. I'm here to pronounce and proclaim to you the kingly anointing that's falling on the remnant. I'm here to announce to you this morning, there is a kingly anointing that is falling upon us that goes beyond the third day. The third day is not a place that we stop in. It's a place we launch from. I know this is going to make some of my third day brothers a little upset, But you got to understand, we didn't stop in Passover. We're not going to stop in Pentecost. And bless God, we've got to be into this revelation of the third day church to launch into the fourth dimension.
That's right.
Come on, somebody. It's about the Parfinkel. Somebody said, throw the shoe. Now, I want to talk to you about the fourth dimension. In the familiar three-dimensional space that we live in, there are three pairs of cardinal directions. Up and down is altitude. North and south is latitude. East and west is longitude. These pairs of directions are mutual, meaning they are at right angles to each other. Mathematically, they lie in three coordinate axes, plural, usually labeled X, Y, Z. The Z buffer is like computer graphics that we have on our computers. Are you listening to me? This refers to Z axis representing the depth of two-dimensional imagery displayed on a computer screen. A space of four dimensions has an additional pair of cardinal directions, which is at right angles to the other three. The additional pair of directions lies on fourth coordinate axes, plural, perpendicular to X, Y, and Z axis, singular. Why are you telling me this stuff? Because you need to know. Mathematically, scientifically, there's a fourth dimension. You need to know that this is the dimension that Enoch stepped into. You need to know that this is the dimension that Jesus walked through walls in. And we can't get it in a day. It's not in a movement. It's beyond tabernacle. It's beyond, well, I don't want to say beyond tabernacle. It's beyond the Holy of Holies. He is not in a box. He's in a people. But we're talking about now bridging time and space and touching the throne room. Now, I'm not talking about spooky spiritual. I'm talking about what Jesus did. Dimensional analogy is the term used to explain this dimension. It is used by Edwin Abbott in the book called Flatland, which narrates a story about a square. It's actually a square that lives in a place called Flatland, okay? So it's demonstrated like this. That lived in a land called Flatland. And he lived in a house. And he had friends, but they were all flat. In other words, no height to it. Everything was flat. In a two-dimensional world, if the square could relate to us what he was seeing, in a third-dimensional world, with me standing out here, I would appear godlike to him because I can go in and out. I can change his reality, but he can't change my reality. Or I should say, he's always going to be flat because this particular is two-dimensional. Or let me say it like this. This is a picture of my son and my mamaw. This is two-dimensional. Now, my son could come and stand here from Baghdad, and the two-dimensional is now three-dimensional. Mamaw cannot, because she's with Jesus, she's in the fourth dimension. So we have a two-dimensional to explain where she is in the fourth dimension. Now, you may be saying, why are you going over this? Because if you just bear with me, I'm going to show you about these hidden treasures, these secret manna that God wants to reveal to the church. And I prophesy this to you. You're going to be hearing this everywhere because God's got to trick our brain. He's going to have to trick our brain. Because I look at this and I'm going, gosh, I see this, but I don't understand this. God's going to have to trick our brains. Do you understand this? I'm ready for a brain transfusion. I'm ready for the mind of Christ. So are you with me? You can put that up. Now, I don't want them staring at it. The perspective of the two-dimensional square, from the two-dimensional square's perspective, a three-dimensional being, when a three-dimensional object comes into play, it doesn't have an understanding of a three-dimensional because it's two-dimensional. Are you with me? In the fourth dimension, when things walk out of the fourth dimension into the third dimension, things happen. This is why Jesus could, after the resurrection, walk through walls. After a useful application of dimensional analogy, the visualization of the fourth dimension in projection. Now, hold on. This is a little technical, but it's for a reason. For instance, computer screens are two-dimensional, and all the photographs of three-dimensional people, places, and things are represented in two dimensions. Are you listening? By projecting the objects onto a flat surface, when this is done, the depth is removed and replaced with indirect information. The retina of the eye is also a two-dimensional array of receptors, but the brain is able to perceive. But the brain is able to perceive. But the brain is able to receive, to perceive the nature of three-dimensional objects on a two-dimensional surface. So if our brain can receive the nature of a three-dimensional object on a two-dimensional surface, that's what artists do when they make a rendition on a picture, look like it's 3D coming at you, then we have, our brain has the capabilities to leap over from this third dimension into the fourth dimension. This is what happens when people see into the spirit world. The same way the square saw the person is godlike, it's unattainable. We see from our third dimension that God is unattainable, not realizing that He is in us. Then we can function on the same plane. Are you listening to me? Not in deity, but in nature. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do. God says I'm invisible. How did Jesus see what God was doing? In the third dimension, He had the ability because He didn't have all the mindsets that He can't do it. He didn't have all the, you won't do it, you can't do it, you're not going to amount to nothing, you're no good, you've never been any good, you're a failure, don't talk to me, you were a lunatic, you were a loser, you were a doper, you were a homosexual, you were a pervert, you were a cross-dresser, you were a bank robber, you were a gambler, come on somebody. And all of this pressures us to say, well, we can't possibly leap from this dimension to that dimension at will. And I'm saying, God has got to do something. I'm preaching this stuff to you, and I left my wife sick today. This is not all there is. I'm trying to tell you there's more to this. There's more to this. The nations of the world is the Lord's, and I see them bowing to a Muslim God. I see them blowing each other up left and right. I see a nation called the United States of America afraid to say, in God we trust. What, can I say it like this? What the hell is going on?
That's right.
How about this? What in hell are they thinking? They're thinking like hell.
That's right.
They're thinking on a two-dimensional plane. They're thinking of the laws that man wrote. You can't do this. You can't do this. You never will. And God's saying, come on. He gave us the shadow in three-dimensional. He gave us, yes, you can, so we can look at it. So that's when we start reading this. The pages, they start leaping off the pages. Then all of a sudden we think, God, bless God, I believe I can do this. But you see, Carl always wants to know. No, it's Perry. Perry's always wanting to know, well, then tell me how to do it. Perry, God has got to do this. This is a God has to do. This isn't if you put your shoes on right, if you pray right, if you pray in the Holy Ghost for 5 hours, if you fast and pray and beat your brains out, if you run your foot over and run your other foot over. You understand, you can't make this. This is something God has got to do. But in order for God to have to do it, you've got to realize it can't be done. And I came to talk to you about the reality of a fourth dimension that we have the ability to walk in. God has given us that ability. Jesus said, the things that I see my Father do, that's all I do. How did he see it? I'm not satisfied with less. I'm not going to be satisfied with it. I'm not going to build a fence around this third day stuff like they did with the word of faith and like they did with the cross. I'm not doing it. We're going farther. We're taking music and we're pushing it to the wall. And we're going to push till heaven opens. Either heaven opens or I'm going to die. There is a dimension. There is a season and a time that we've pressed into. And it's like we're up against you've seen these, I've had these dreams that I'm like pushing against this rubber membrane. It's like you see sometimes on like Halloween 50 or whatever. Trying to get through the, and his face is all pressing. It's like we're pressing. And God is saying, push! Push! We're about to break through. We're about to break through. In the spirit, we've already broken through the racial trip that the enemy put on America. We broke through it. Now we're going to break through the denominational trip that the enemy's put on America. Do you understand that? How can the world come to us for help when we're too busy fighting with them? How many are you running? How many? What do you do? What do you preach?
That's right.
Afraid to take a risk. Preach transparent. Preach the gospel always and when necessary, use words. If God is on the throne, how did Jesus see him? Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of Pharaoh, because he looked and saw God who is invisible. Moses stepped in that place too. Moses stepped in that place because he came down for 40 days after fasting, threw the law at him, turned around and went back and fasted another. That's 80 days, no food or water. He was off in it, honey. That's why he came down and his face was glowing. And even in all that, he blew it. He blew it because he smote the rock and blew a shadow into types and shadows. Don't you know Jesus will only be smitten a couple times? Come here, I want to talk to you. You know, you're in real trouble. Well, I didn't know it was that bad. It's that bad, I told you one time. But see, in the goodness of God, who was seeing on the Mount of Transfiguration? He still got to go in. He just didn't get to go in the third dimension. Are you with me? Now, this is why Jesus could, after the resurrection, walk through walls, because he was able to displace the third dimension with the fourth dimension. He was able to walk through walls and dispel atoms. That's how when someone is translated, they step out of the third dimension into the fourth dimension. Well, you got scripture for that? How about the brother they were baptizing? What's his name? Philip. Translated. All of a sudden, he ended up walking around going, how in the heck did I get here? He stepped off in it. What did he do to get it? He was where he was supposed to be, first of all. He was baptizing because God said, run and baptize that guy on the chariot there. He ran him down, big revival going on. He obeyed God, ran him down, and preached to him. Said, well, man, this is good stuff. I need to be baptized. So I don't know if it was the second, third, fourth, or seventh dunk, but he came up. One of the times he came up, and Philip was gone. Because he was obedient. And by that obedience, God translated him. God moved him into that fourth dimension. What is that dimension? That's dimension. That's the dimension where there's secret manna, secret treasures. Treasures, treasures, treasures. What kind of treasures? I don't know. I don't know. I can only imagine. If I could only imagine. Do you understand? I know that it's what we need when we need it. I can't tell you the stories that we've read about missionaries and about preachers and about women that's been in trouble, and all of a sudden an angel stepped through. Stepped through the fourth dimension into the third dimension, and they saw him. And the reports are, some say, well, it was kind of fuzzy, kind of hazy. You see, it was still in the, sometimes it's like this. Be careful that you don't entertain angels unaware, so it better be nice when people come to your house, he said, even if they're Jehovah's Witnesses. Peter, by faith, reached into this same dimension and walked on the water. He was not in the third dimension when he walked on that water. He was off in the fourth dimension. Is this okay?
Oh, this is so good.
Will someone please stand up and encourage me, because I'm getting scared.
Woo!
All right. Okay. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. It's always good when a guest stands up and says, you're all right. You're all right. Especially with this stuff. Now, Peter, these are the hidden treasures for those with an ear who are coming to the place in the third dimension to comprehend and therefore apprehend the fourth realm in the spirit. Are you with me? This is not some new age astral travel hocus pocus. This is Jesus is the Lord. Focus. Come on, somebody. And he said, I can call those things which be not as though they were, and cause time to collapse and the present to be the past and the future to occur. So my God says that I can and I will and I do, but this he has laid upon your doorstep. What will you do? What will you do with this new revelation of me, he said to Joshua, as he was walking around the wall looking for a plan for man. The captain of the host stepped out of the dimension of four, stepped out of that dimension and stepped into where Joshua was and said this to him. Joshua says, are you for me or against me? And he said, neither one. Well, that's a fine how do you do for the captain of the host. Neither one. I want to see what you're going to do with this next revelation. Joshua got down, took his shoe off and said, thou art God. And the Lord started downloading. He started downloading how the troops are going to march around. And they're going to, by their obedience, they're going to acquisition the sound. And by, I told you before about the sound. They were marching around the wall. Can you imagine 3 million men marching around a wall seven times? First of all, you would not even be able to see them anymore for the dust. Second of all, after the third or fourth trip of them yelling stuff down at them when they were choked on the wall, they realized this was a different day. They were in the seventh day. The seventh day is a day of rest. Remember, we went over this. Jesus rested on the seventh day. That means it's been 2 days or 2,000 years from Adam to Abraham. It's been 2,000 years or 2 days from Abraham to Jesus. It's been 2,000 years or 2 days from Jesus to this day. That puts us on the verge, brink, in the midst of, not going to, into the seventh day rest. We have labored now to enter into his rest. God has to come through now with another dimensional purpose. He has to come through. That where she can step on time lapse and go right to Venezuela. He has to do that. He has to do it. There's nothing she can pray. There's nothing I can say. There's nothing I can do but be where God tells me to be. I'm not going to sit down. I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to slow down. I'm not going to wind down.
I'm going to see this. Are you with me? We are going to see this. We are going to see this. Why? Because we want it.
Jesus said to him that overcomes, I'm going to give him permission. I'm going to grant him to sit with me on my throne. That's not after you're dead. You're already dead. That's now. We've been made alive in Christ. This is a place beyond the veil. We can go beyond. We cannot go beyond something till we come to the same something. You can't go past this until you come to this. You can't get here out there. You've got to come in here to get this. You cannot get this from the first day. You have got to travail from the first to the second. You can't get this from Pentecost. You've got to attain the tabernacles. Praise God. Well, what about the first day? You need this because they're directing the way. Do you understand that? Yes. There were those in the camp that went across the river, the Red Sea. The first to go across saw things that they were in the middle and the last didn't see. They were the first to go across. I might add to you, that line, Perry, was 5 miles wide. In order for those people to get through in 24 hours. So it wasn't a split. It was a break. Are you with me? I don't know about you, but I need a brain transfusion to comprehend this stuff. I need a new brain. I need the mind of Christ. I need to forget those things which are behind. I need to stop beating myself up. Still today I beat myself up, knowing that's over, knowing I've been delivered. I still say, what if I would have only looked out, if I only hadn't have done that, if I only hadn't have taken drugs, if I only hadn't have done this, if I only wanted, would have, should have, would have. And I know to hang up on Phonely Ida. I know in Phonely Ida calls to hang up on that woman. Hang up on her. If only I'd have done this. If only I hadn't have gone there. If only I'd have said this. Only I'd have said, hang up. Hang up. Well, you cannot get to that dimension of the fourth place when they're trying to drag you back to the first place. If you have a sense of poverty in your heart for the Lord, an insatiable appetite for the things we hear that seem to go on everywhere but where we are. If you're sick and tired of all the glamour and glitz and the superstar, the celebrity Christians that are trying to substitute their notoriety for that deep down hunger. The tangible, tasteable presence, the seeable presence. You're not alone. There are tens of thousands of us. And we're taking over. We're taking over. Are you with me? Revelation says there is now a door open in heaven. A door open and no man can shut it. God supplies all the answers before the need. He made the grass before the cow. He made the water before the fish. He made the air before he made a bird to put in it. No matter what, God has already got it fixed, what you need before you get there. Do you understand that? Please hear me. Please listen to me. When Pete swam to the shore, important. God says, give me some of what you caught. He already had fish on the fire, didn't need them. I have come to a place where I'm going to make the Lord proud. I don't want to cause any more shame on the kingdom. You see that? Because it's not about me, it's about he who is three, rolling like the thunder, pure, flawed, indeed of wonder. Are you with me? Let's talk about this. Mary Eder did not want to go and do a revival during the St. Louis World's Fair. She was obedient. She was preaching, and right in the middle of her preaching, she froze for 72 hours. 72 hours, she stepped out of this place and stepped over into the other place. What did she do? She was obedient that God called her to do. You see, someone would say, well, what's the formula? Obedience to that which God called you to do. Simple obedience. Where do I sign up? You've already signed up. You signed up the day you were on the floor and said, God, whatever it takes. Okay. Send him some circumstances. Send him some circumstances. I'm going to work on him till I see him dance in his pain. When you're able to dance in your pain, it's over. When all of a sudden your problems are truly in your mind, his problems. And 72 hours later, poof, she came back speaking from where she left. What she didn't know is thousands of people filed by her in this state and accepted Jesus because they knew
praise
only
God.
Preach everywhere, and when necessary, use words. I know that I had to. I had to tell you about this. Well, I don't know all that N minus 2 plus 1 and XYZ stuff and all that. You see, whatever it takes to get you to realize that this is not all there is.
Amen.
There's more.
Hallelujah.
There's more.
Hallelujah.
There's more.
Hallelujah.
There's a dimension of sight and sound that we've not plowed into. You cannot comprehend. Nor is entered to your heart the things that God has prepared for those who love him. There are witty inventions in this room. There are millionaires in the making in this room. There are people who have proved they've been faithful with a little. There are people that have been hardwired to do things that's not only never been seen, it's never been imagined yet.
Hallelujah.
Well, you don't know how much hell I'm going through. That's a great indication that you've got something to do because of what you're going through.
Yeah.
We're not building a camp around Third Day. Someone say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But we can't get there from the second. Revelation talks about repentance of the churches, but it's not repentance from sin so much. It's the word is mindset. Repent for the mindset means change your mind. The whole book's change your mind, change your mind, change your mind. Cha-ching, cha-ching.